Are you a loner or a groupie and are you enjoy your run? Back to take it easy, you're shooting a friend a gun. Whatever your ability is, it's a place to be. So welcome to the Worth It Fun Fake Run community. If you're 17, 24, pushing 82, come along, join us, this is the place for you. Welcome to the Worth It Fun Fake Run community. Welcome to the Worth It Fun Fake Run community.
Once again, we're in that awkward situation where this podcast episode is going out the day after a major spring marathon, but we are still before a major spring marathon as we're recording in the days that precede London Marathon. But even so, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Series 14, Episode 4 of the What the Fartlek podcast. My name is Rob.
And I'm Matt.
And congratulations, we are saying, from the past to the future to everyone who surely smashed London Marathon this weekend, right, Matt?
Everyone did amazingly, I'm sure.
Did, is doing, will do.
Doing, yeah.
Has done, has won.
Are doing.
Done. Who knows?
Are still doing.
Who knows?
You're all amazing.
Not just the two of us getting confused by the time vortex lurking in the background, the best calves in Clivero. JP, how are we doing, mate?
Yeah, I've lost my voice and I'm dead hungover.
If one thing is inevitable, is that you and I will be in that situation when this podcast episode goes out, because I plan on drinking my way through the weekend. What a weekend it was, will be, and is. Right, isn't it? Anyway.
Do we know? Yeah.
Good. But more importantly, we've got a very good episode. These are our Monday episodes. These are the guest episodes where we shine a spotlight members of our amazing running community. And today is no different. Matty, who are we talking to?
Yeah, we've got the absolutely amazing Paul Breen. This is the guy behind Gert Lush Events, Barclay Marathon UK founder, race director. He's into all the ultra running and done all the Ironmans and all that sort of stuff. So he's into all that. So we'll be talking to him a little bit later on. Yeah, awesome chat. I think there might be a little bit of a trigger warning with that a little bit later on that you might just mention. But yeah, an awesome dude and an awesome event company.
I will. Very honest conversation. We'll get into that before we get started. But really interesting as well. If you are a fan of the Barclay series over in America and Laz and his cigarette and his pages in his books and all of the madness, or if you don't know much about it, then part of this conversation we do talk about it, because the UK Barclay marathons that Paul organises are endorsed by Laz and the Barclay guys, so pretty cool. We're going to get to that in a moment. Here's of course the main event. Before we do though, maybe we need to turn our attention as well. Spring marathon season is done, has been done, will be done at some point, we don't know. And our attention's turned to our off-road adventure we're taking on in February. It's all getting a bit real now, isn't it, as we're about 10 months out from Pendleway in a Day 2025.
Oh, shit, yeah. I forgot about that.
You forgot about that.
You can never forget about Pendle.
No, I mean, honestly... All the conversation in all the group chat seems to be about booking a 2025 marathon in April. I'm worried I'll still be up Pendle Hill.
You won't. We've got our Sherpa with us. We've got our JP with us. He'll guide us. He managed to save my life last time I were up there. So yeah, I'm
literally, as well. Literally and figuratively. It's going to be all right, isn't it? Please tell me it's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. There's loads of us doing it as well. It's just going to be a little fun run without the fun.
Yeah, a little 45-mile foot roll up a big stomp. Without the running. Yeah.
Listening to Paul, though, he made the whole mystique of the UK Barclay Marathon sound really appealing and really interesting. Mm. Pendle ain't that. It's just following a witch around all day.
And if you're Matt, finding other people's discarded running kit and claiming it as your own.
You still got that, haven't you? You still got that flask.
I think so, yeah. So I just think it's covered somewhere.
You're a scruffy little git. You know that, don't you?
I cleaned it out. I get a good wesh.
A good wesh. Perfectly good. Perfectly good. So, yeah, no, but it is going to be a good event. If you are in the Lancashire area... pretty much everyone who signed up, I think, is far like family. There's absolutely loads of our community going and doing it. There's a 30-mile and a 45-mile, including this absolute chump taking on his first ever one with some veterans alongside him, not just these two chaps, but a couple of other pros who've been up and down the mountain once before, and some other virgins as well. So looking forward to it, eh? I guess.
How are you feeling about it? Because you're kind of doing the whole
couch to ultra.
Ultra, yeah.
Couch to pendle, yeah. It's pretty intense, isn't it? Yeah, I'm all right at the minute, but I'm still in that phase where it's like I don't really have to do anything. I'm still in that it's 10 months away kind of phase, but I'm very aware that that shouldn't really be a thing. I should really be starting to think about what I do. But I say that, I'm being a little bit self-depreciating. I've set myself a couple of goals in terms of timings, like kind of very broad blocks of what I want to achieve. And between now and the summer, it's just to fall back in love with running again. It's just to get out and enjoy it, do some hilly ones, do a bit of run walking, get to the gym, do a bit of strength, get on the high incline on the treadmill. It's just about getting out and enjoying my running. And I've been really enjoying it. I did 4 runs last week, which is unheard of for me, upwards of 15 miles. Woo, I hear you all say. But that's it. That's all I'm doing. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple of months and then get into the summer and we'll take it from there and get some recce's done, get up into the peaks, come over to CJP in Clitheroe and hopefully get up and recce a bit of the course as well. And it'll be all right, won't it? I've never done anything like this. So I'm quite looking forward to the pressure being off of times and running all the time. And, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be horrible. There'll be really dark points, I'm sure. And I'll be an absolute nightmare for you, Per. But I'm quite looking forward to the challenge.
Have you thought about, you know, maybe doing something a higher distance beforehand? Because, you know, me and Matty, we're two-time, aren't we? We're two-time ultras.
Two-time ultra runners, yeah. Thinking of mirroring your process, exactly. So there'll be a January Rasselbach run, not Rainbow Run, that's the Fearless Guys, isn't it? But the race series at Sherwood Pines, where you've got 6 hours, it's 6 hours, try and squeeze in 30.
10 laps.
10 laps, and... yeah, go along and have a go at that, and we'll just see, won't we? See how it goes. But yeah, that is certainly part of the plan. It'd be nice to at least get something close to the distance in the legs, seeing as I am going from couch to ultra. I'm not coming off the back of like an autumn marathon and then going, okay, I've just got to get the distance from that to this. It is very much until January this year, I haven't run for 7 months, so it'll be fun.
What about you, Matt? Are you going for headphones or earplugs?
Just taking a
bag, I think.
Just taking a stick to hit me with.
I'm looking forward to seeing Rob replicate that picture of me with all gear all over the floor, and Rob's head just like, "What the fuck have I done?"
I'm thinking that already. Just ages to go. Maybe as well. And do you know what? In a weird way, I am hoping that. It is going to be horrible, and I know we joke about it, but I'm probably going to make your lives utterly miserable up there because I am a self-depreciating little bugger, and I do get in my own head. But hopefully that suffering will translate to a few positive things, and maybe we can find a charity to raise some money for, and we can get people to put their hands in their pockets based on just how dreadful my day is going to be, and make something good come of what's probably going to be a pretty tough but ultimately very rewarding experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I'll try and document a bit more this time as well, and then you know what it's about.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. For the build up as well, maybe we
need to get a GoPro, eh? Anyway.
Yeah. Still a bit old. Rob started crying already.
It'd be like Blair, wake you all over again, won't it?
Yeah, Rob's huddled in a corner and the tree saying doesn't want to go on. How far are you in? About 3 kilometres.
It'll be fine. I think you're secretly going to enjoy it, mate.
We'll see. It could be life-changing, couldn't it? But from one very inexperienced trail and ultra runner to one very experienced trail and ultra runner, I think it's time for the main event. Let's go and have a chat to Paul Green, Breen of Gert Lush Events. Just, Matt did mention at the start, just a quick trigger warning, there is conversation early on in this chat about suicide and suicidal thoughts and mental health. So it may well be one that if it starts to trigger users to skip on from, but it's a very worthwhile conversation and one with a wonderful conclusion. So let's roll that audio and have a chat to Paul Breen. Now, with marathon season being in full swing, we've been talking a lot about the road recently, but that doesn't mean we don't like to get back to nature and explore a whole different side of running from time to time. My guest today, an accomplished runner, an Ironman, and a coach, and just so happens to be the race director of the Barclay Marathon UK, an ode to an absolute phenomenon stateside. And endorsed by the man himself, Laz. We want to hear about his journey into running, how the Barclay UK Marathon came to be, maybe even a crash course into its chaotic world for those who might not be fully aware. But we also want to hear about Gert Lush, an event company with a difference as they embark on a mission to improve the world one smile at a time. Today, I am chatting to the excellent Paul Breen. Paul, how are we doing, mate?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Very happy to. How's your day been so far, mate? Managed to get out for a run?
I haven't. You know what? My training at the moment is shocking. I've got some big things coming up myself that I'm then going to turn into races, and the training plan is not going well. Being a full-time parent, a coach, a race director, and having a full-time job and a husband, it gets a bit chaotic.
Lots of plates being juggled, I imagine.
Yeah, lots of plates.
Okay, well, we're going to get into all of that, but let's strip it back and let's start by talking about you. People might not be familiar with you. People might not know about your story, what you've achieved. Now, I always like to go back in these podcasts to kind of like, you know, how did you first get into running? And I know that you found running at a particularly tough point in your life, did you not? So do you want to tell me a little bit about how that journey developed?
Yeah, definitely. The journey actually starts before the bad times. I was in the armed forces, in the army. I sort of did just over 10 years in the army. Had a great time. Loved everything I did. Traveled around the world. Done loads of really cool stuff. I got into a few issues. There was a few situations in the armed forces where actually I didn't think that was cohesive to start a family. So I decided that was my time in the armed forces done. And my problem started a few months, really, after leaving. I just didn't feel right. Started to gain weight, started to get really tired, irritable. And then the months went by into years, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I was a very fit individual in the army. And then all of a sudden, kids have come along, marriage is sort of getting worse, and I'm up to sort of 18 and a bit stone. And not in a good way. I was medicated. I was diagnosed as having PTSD, which was turned out to be wrong. But it was an easy one to go to for the doctor.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't put my finger on it. And I was going to therapy and everything like that, but it just seemed to be going downhill. So I decided one day that I'd had enough, and I decided to make a decision. And the decision was to go to somewhere I loved, which was in the mountains. So I sort a few things out, go up into the mountains, and flip a coin. And tails, I was jumping off, and heads, I was going to give it 6 months of trying to improve my life. Luckily, it was heads, probably due to a gust of wind or something like that. and I sort of made my way off the mountain, off Snowdonia. And on the way down, there was some mountain rescue guys, and got a chat to them, and they sort of, I think they knew I was out on the mountain, so someone had been called. And I was chatting to the guy, and he ex-armed forces, and I said, look, I just can't get to this light at the end of the tunnel. And he said, there isn't a light at the end of the tunnel. That's, he doesn't agree with that. He said, for me, he said, I was in a well, and I could look up at the light, and I could also see the floor. And he said, you've got to step up and get those little steps, and then you can see the floor, so you can see your progress, and then you can crawl out of the hole in the floor and keep moving forward. And that just clicked for me. And then I went back, and it was the next day, and I decided, you know, I'm going to go for a run. That's what I used to love running. I'm going to go for a run. It was an awful run. It was terrible. Oh my God. You know, I thought that nearly killed me. But I tell you what, it was the best I'd felt. I think it was like 2K, and I'd been walking, you know, and it was the best I'd felt in years. So then I ran every day for a few weeks, literally every day. And I thought, sign up for something, have a goal, have a target. And so I went for the Cardiff Half Marathon.
What a race, what an atmosphere.
And I do attribute to, if I'd have done a crappy one, you know, and I've done some since, I don't know if it had the same effect. And it was that community, especially the Wales has got, and you know, and everything like that, that community, and then that sort of cheering on. It doesn't matter how fast you go in, it's that you're going. I went and did that awful time. You know, I used to be a 1:30 half marathoner. I think I was like 2:10, 2:15, something like that. But again, best. I just felt amazing. And then, yeah, my journey sort of just kept getting bigger. You know, the usual thing. We go from, I can do a half marathon now. Why not do 100K? So I signed up, it's a natural progression. So I signed up for the London Brighton 100K, got to 96K, and then suddenly found out about electrolytes and DNF'd at 96 kilometers. But again, best of felt. And that's where my sort of journey with fitness, running especially, began, and improving my mental health. And 6 months, well, 3 and a bit months down the line from flipping a coin and ending, contemplating ending my life, I was not fixed, but in a really good place going forward, moving forward. You know, well, probably wasn't out of the hole, but I was definitely gripping the edges of it. You know, and 3 months down on from that, I was out of the hole and I was moving away from the hole, because the hole's always there and you can always go fall back down into it. But yeah, I was moving forward away from the hole, and that's where my journey expanded.
Not to dwell too much on the point, because it is a wonderful story of recovery and perseverance, and I really want to hear more about the positive times, but there is a couple of things that you've just said in that last statement that kind of twigged in me. You talked about being misdiagnosed, you talked about stigma, you talked about struggling, not being able to pinpoint what was wrong with you. There is an awful, I never served in the forces, utmost respect to everybody who does. There is a very common kind of conception, I guess, that people struggle coming out of the armed forces into civilian life. But do you think that perhaps maybe for you, it was a mask, like this, it was a bit of a simplification, this idea that, oh, he was forces, now he's not, and that's why he's struggling, was what people were trying to tell you was wrong, and that in a weird way it made it worse because it wasn't getting to the true root cause of what was going on inside your head?
Yeah, the big problem was that, you know, Iraq and other operational tours, you know, they're not nice places. And stuff, and I'd left, and at the time it was, you know, it's PTSD because of things you'd seen and done, and I just couldn't correlate that. And having now spoken to different people, and I speak at, you know, spoken at events and stuff, and you know, PTSD isn't an armed forces thing. I do think nurses, which sadly, you know, my brother who lost his life end of COVID, was a nurse, and he suffered greatly with, I believe, PTSD. You know, fire service, police officers, paramedics especially, you know, things they see, that's a daily occurrence. You know, yes, when I went on tour for 6-7 months, it wasn't great. But these guys do it every day. So it's not an armed forces thing. And I think we need to sort of everything up. But yeah, you got it right. It was, people were telling me, you know, this is things you'd seen. And the problem and the thing that kept twisting around, I was like, no, I'm okay with that. I've put that in a box and I'm okay with that box. I've dealt with it. And it was, I just couldn't get back into society. You know, the timings, you know, being punctual, being things like that, it just didn't seem to fit into civilian life. You know, I'd turn up to meetings at work and I'd be 5 minutes before, and then most people would be 20 minutes late. Just sat there like stressing, you know, and so that was, it was an integration thing was the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really interesting. Thank you for sharing. So let's move forward into that running journey, and we're going to get to your stints as an RD very soon. But from your perspective, you've achieved an awful lot from running. You've said, as you said yourself, oh, I'll just go and take on a 100K challenge. Is the one race or one event that stands out? I guess what I'm trying to ask is, you've obviously gone on to be a part of something that, to the outside casual observer, is utter anarchy in Barclay. Yeah. Was there like a race or an event that you took part in that gave you a hankering or a sense of belonging in the slightly different, in the slightly obscure, and in certainly in the very challenging?
Yeah, it was ultras. That's what it was for me. I've done a lot of half marathon, a lot of road running, London Marathon, things like that. And I really enjoyed them. Not so much the London Marathon, not too much of a fan. They're really good. However, for me, with the trail running, not so much the ultra running, the trail running, the sense of community is completely different. Yep. I find the competitiveness kind of, it's still there and it's great to have. I love a bit, I'm super competitive. But when it's all said and done, or people help each other more, I find that sort of community is so much. So these long runs, and I went and did one with the blind veterans, meeting these absolutely phenomenal people, 100% blind, running 100K.
Wow.
And they'd rode the Atlantic the year before. You know, people like that, and then that's my therapy. I started going through that. But yeah, and that, I've done a few 100K, quite a few 50 milers, things like that, a lot of trails, a lot of multi-days. That sort of culminated with the Marathon du Sable.
MDS.
Yes, 35th. But I did the 35th edition of the MDS, which was the bad one recently, because we got postponed because of COVID. And yes, sadly, two people lost their lives.
Yeah.
One on the race, Pierre. That was hard to see. I was sadly I ran past the incident. That was hard, but again, what the community, and again, different nations, because you're all just bundled in together. That was, and going through the dunes at 52 degrees, because it was a strange, hot, super hot year, and people just helping each other and dishing water out, and that was brilliant to see. So really, it's a horrendous sort of goings on next to amazing sort of people helping each other. So that's what I fell in love with, really.
Yeah, I know. So the next step in that journey becomes going from participant to organizer. Let's talk about Barclay, right? So before we get into the UK series, before we get into your event, if people don't know, if people aren't aware of it, give us a 60-second lowdown of the US, the original.
Okay, the original started because someone escaped prison. You can watch the documentary of who it was, and got not very far in 60 hours. Laz, who is an old school ultra runner, said I could get 100 miles in that time. And thus the Barclay was born, the idea. It's a very strange $1.20 to get in. There's a few sort of weird entry things. Nobody knows how to enter. Well, some of us do, but it's a strange one. And you then go to the race. You get commiserations letter saying you've got in. And once you've got there, you've got 5 laps. Each lap is around 20 miles. It isn't. And it's unnavigated. You collect book pages at the checkpoint. And the checkpoints are just kind of by tree. Now, in Tennessee, in Frozen Head National Park, there are a lot of trees. You summit if you complete the race, which is 5 laps in 60 hours, you summit Everest twice. Since the 100 started, only up until this year, 17 people had finished it. It's now up to 20, with Jasmine Paris being the first female, which is phenomenal. It's nuts, absolutely nuts. Nobody knows when it starts. It started by lighting a cigarette. Laz is nuts. Watch the documentary. Doesn't matter if you're a roadrunner. It's not that kind of thing. It's one of those movies. I always tell people I find it like Rocky. Doesn't matter if you're a boxer. You watch Rocky and you're like, I want to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Watch the documentary on Barclay and you're like, I want to go for a run.
It's a great one. It's completely off the wall, but so exciting. And you alluded to the 2024 edition where we saw our first female complete, which was absolutely amazing, and it's great to see. I feel like, I don't know what you think, but I feel like it got a little bit more notoriety. Not that it ever needs to be, or probably wants to be mainstream, but it feels like it got a bit of the exposure that it deserves for just how unique a race it is this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's how our sort of thing, when the documentary came out on like Netflix about the Barclay, the race that eats its young, and there's loads of Barclay documentaries, loads. Mm. But that one sort of got popularity. When Laz came to the National Running Show that year, it unbelievable. You couldn't get, everybody left their state, their stalls, people working on the stalls, abandoned the stalls to go and listen to this demigod that had turned up Laz. It's just crazy. But yeah, with Jazz, like, especially as Laz himself said, no woman would ever finish this race. But don't be annoyed at him for that. He says things like this to G people up and stuff. And, you know, I know for a fact he's over the moon that Jasmine finished.
So you mentioned the National Running Show, and I have seen from following your story just a little bit that your story in regards to the Barclay UK's does have a huge chapter, an origin almost, in that National Running Show. So tell me about that conversation and then how Barclay UK came about.
So, me and my wife were at the National Running Show. We were just about to go out to the MDS. So we went to the National Runners Show. We knew Laz was going to be there, but we knew it was going to be busy. Again, 30 deep, you couldn't get near him. I had a little book for him to sign if I could get near him, but you weren't getting near him. It was ridiculous. So we were at this running show all day, and we thought, OK, it's time to leave. We left and went round the back of the atrium, if you've ever been. It's like held in this big atrium. We went up to the side, we'd go left. And as we turn left, there's Laz having a fag on his own.
Fate.
No one about. So I'm a fanboy. And I was like, right. And Nat, my wife, was just like, go and speak to him. So I went up, chat. Loveliest guy. And I said, I just happened to mention to him that I was brought up in a town called Barclay in Gloucestershire. Spelt differently, pronounced the same. And he went, really? And I went, 100%. I had to show him on my phone afterwards. And he just went, set up the Barclay Marathons UK. And I just went, no. I've got kids. I'm struggling with my mental health. I'm trying to train for the MDS. I've got all this going on, you know, new relationships. Mental. I was like, nah. I was like, yeah, maybe. Anyway, we're out in the desert. Anybody that's seen the MDS documentaries or done it and stuff knows you spend a lot of time under your sort of bivouac. And we had a really 1065, massive, love them, and chatting away. And we said, oh, we're getting bored of asking the same people to sponsor us. And then the sort of conversation developed, and it was like, why don't you actually do the Barclay Marathons then that Laz told you to do, but just give all the money to charity, and that's your charity done for the year. I mean, that's a good idea. And then planning ensued, and and then in a year later, we got, you know, it was up, and we launched it. We ran the first one in 2022, and we got to think about 20 people. I had messaged Laz I'd be able to get a hold of his thing after a lot of sort of research, and I emailed him and said, you won't remember me, as I had a little picture of me and him done at the National Running Show, and I sent him that and sort of said, you won't remember me, but I live in Barclay in Gloucestershire, we're going to do this run. It's all for charity. We're giving all the profits to charity. We want to do it the same sort of format. Are you okay with us doing this? I think I'm never going to get a reply. 2 days later, I got this reply. If any of you follow Laz on Facebook or anything, he either gives you one line or an essay.
Right.
And this essay came and he was just like, yeah, love that, love the idea. Do with it, we will. Great, this for charity. Just get people out running. And then he gave me two rules. He said, the two rules are, you make it nigh on impossible. And as a run, because it's not about finishing, but you make it accessible for all the types of runners. And I was like, oh, okay, so then back to the planning stages, how can we do this? And then I started putting a route together, and then someone said, you should ask John Kelly, a finisher of the Barclay Marathons in America. And I was like, well, you know, he's busy in Tennessee. And they said, oh no, he lives in Bristol. And I was like, okay, what?
More fate.
Turns out he lived 10 minutes down the road from Barclay at the time. He now lives back in Tennessee. So another little message, thinking he won't reply. Replied within an hour. Oh, I know the area. I run on the Cotswold Way all the time. Yeah, do this, do that, you know. And sent in the route and he was like, yeah, that's really good, that part. I really like the hilly section of that. And then I said, I'm going to do 5 laps. Each lap's going to be a marathon. We've only got 15,000 feet of elevation gain total, if you do all of them, because we haven't got the, you know, the thing. It's the nav's really easy. It's as we're in the UK, we've got to be on public rights of way or private land, and this path, you know, so the nav's not hard at all. And he said, oh, no, don't give them 48 hours, give them 24 hours. And I was like, okay, what? No, that's not possible. That's like, that's beyond ridiculous. And he went, I'd do that. And I was like, and then I was like, okay. So then I started researching it, Grand Union Canal, all the times. I did like a big spreadsheet of distance and times and averages. And I was like, actually, it is possible for super, super elites. They've got to run a 4:48 marathon consecutively. I was like,
5 times, yeah.
Nothing,
is it?
Yeah, but it's doable. And I was like, okay, so we'll try that. And then we were like, we've got the books, so you've got to rip the pages out. Yep. And yeah, it just sort of grew. And we only had 20-odd people. We raised sort of 600 quid for charity. But people were like, we really like this. And 50% of those 20 signed back up on the day of finishing. And then the next year we doubled our thing, and then this year we nearly sold out. It's raising thousands of pounds for charity. It's just really enjoying it, to be honest.
Yeah, amazing. And it has given you a hankering to expand beyond just the one race per year, and this is where Girtlush Events comes in. So talk to me about, I mean, you've mentioned about the fact that you lead a busy life, you know, wife, kids, a day job. What compelled you to think, well, actually once a year is not enough, I'm going out and do more?
It was Laz again. So Laz famously doesn't really do big long interviews or anything like that. I emailed him after our first one and sort of said, look, this has gone really well. We've got signups now and everything like that. Would you mind doing an interview just like this, like a video one? And back and forth, couple of months. And he went, okay, yeah, fine. And so we did what was meant to be a sort of 30-minute video interview, turned into a couple of hours just chatting, and a lot of it isn't in the video and stuff like that. His dog, Big, at the time was really ill, and we kept talking about his dog and stuff like that. And then at the end of the sort of interview, Laz was like, you know, cheers for this. You're making a change in people's lives. And I was like, yeah, I just want to do more. And he went, oh, set up a backyard ultra, because it's his idea about the backyards. He sort of developed the backyards. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll have a look at it. And then we've got Hugh from Penicillin Ultras up in North Wales and stuff like that. I know him. I messaged him, and he runs one, and yeah, just sort of started talking about people, and then we launched Breakheart Backyard Ultra. And it was just easier with, now we've got a charity and then everything like that with an accountant. They said it's easier if you set up a company and then just run the races individually. So finding out a name, and we're obviously from the West Country, as you can probably tell by my accent. And we were discussing names, and my wife and all just went, what do you want it to be? What do you want it to stand for? I said, I don't know. I just want it to be Girtlash. And bang, Girtlash Events.
Got it.
So, yeah. And then we launched the Dozen Dips, which is a swim version of a backyardish. It's a 12-hour swim, swimming a mile or half a mile on the hour every hour. And so, yeah, those are the events. But Girtlash isn't about the events, really. It's I got disillusioned with a lot of events I was going to that were either, and I'm not bashing these race directors, you know, but they become really expensive, and and some of them you're not even getting checkpoints or anything, and I was like, come on, we can do better, we should be doing better. So I decided, as I've got a full-time day job, I don't need the money. How can we use that money to have a positive impact? So we're already doing the Barclay fully for charity and everything like that. And how can we use the events it was to begin with? So the Barclay in America has two random things you need to bring. You need to bring your number plate if you're the first goer. And lads might need socks or a cardi or a shirt. So you need to bring a shirt for lads. And I was like, well, we could do that, but I don't need any of that stuff. So why don't we do something else? We partnered with Jog On, who are a shoe recycling sort of group, and Tony Pidad are that fantastic. So the runners have to bring an old set of trainers that are, you know, absolutely knackered. And they get kept out of landfill. So if they've got a bit of life left in them, they get sent to people who maybe can't afford them or things like that. If they haven't got, they'll be used for something else. They'll be shredded and recycled. So I thought, yeah, it's a good, really good one. So we do that. And then I was like, what else can we do? And I want to have a local impact. So I contacted the local food bank around by me, and I live in a sort of small area like Gloucestershire, and they were struggling for things, and I said, look, I've got 65 people this year coming to our last year one. Give me your worst five items, things that you're struggling with. And they said, well, it's size 6 nappies and it's tinned meals and this. I said, I don't care what it is, you've got 65 people that will bring you, or they won't do the race, one of these items. And they're like, oh, right. So I did that. I sent it out. And do you know what? The runners, amazing community, hit the nail on the head. Everybody bought one or two pairs of trainers. Some people bought brand new trainers. I made this big container. I was thinking we'd get a quarter of the container. We filled the container. And I said, you've got to bring one food bank item. Most people bought 4 or 5. And we completely filled the food bank, which was amazing. And then, okay, how can we go further? I just want to put smiles on faces. That was our thing. We want to put smiles on faces. And I was in a queue for a coffee at work, and someone ordered the wrong coffee, and the person behind them was going to order that coffee, and they went, "Oh, you just have it." And she went, oh, I'll pay for it. And she went, no, I'll get you this. They didn't know each other. And do you know what? The smiles on both of their faces, the people around them, the server, everybody was smiling. And I was like, isn't that amazing? 2.40, whatever it was, a small coffee. And everybody smiling. I was like,
doesn't take a lot, does it?
No. So we now give £50 to local cafes, like small cafes, by complete random strangers their brew. If like, and I stress them, say if someone comes in looks like they're having a bad day, buy them their coffee or tea or whatever. And yeah, that's gone down really well. And yeah, so that's where we started with our positive social impact. And that's now grown massively to, we support community gardens. We build talking benches. So we've just installed two of these talking benches we scan QR codes and links you into mental health charities and community groups and coffee mornings and things like that. But it's about just sitting on the bench and just, like I was coming down the mountain, I chatted to a stranger about what was going on with me. Didn't know them from Adam. And it changed my world. I pretty much would have been dead by it if I hadn't talked to that stranger. So we've got these benches now, and they encourage people just to talk to strangers, you know, just say, hi, you all right? How's your day going? And then that might lead into another conversation. So yeah, that's where I want Girtlush to go. I want it to be, keep prices low, get people in, get people moving, and involve them in the positive impact that we're having.
Amazing. And you've talked already there, rounded it off quite nicely about the future for the events company. How about for you? Have you got any, you told me, I can't remember, it was when we started chatting, or the little preamble that we had, that you have got some personal goals at the moment from a running perspective. What's on the horizon for you?
So I DNF'd at the MDS. Again, the 35th edition was plagued by DNV. So I got to long stage and sadly got pulled out. They didn't have enough IVs. They didn't have enough sort of stuff. It was just a bad year. Just one of those things. So I will be going back to do the MDS for sure. Really liked it. Really enjoyed it. Me and my wife would really like to do Badwater, Death Valley Run. We've got loads of events in the mix that we're trying to launch, and this is my sort of, I want to do this full time now. I just love it, the whole thing of find something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I've got loads of events that we're looking to put on, and one of them is going to be a triathlon. At the moment in the UK, Ironman distance triathlons, and I've done Ironman Wales, they are, well, pretty much non-existent because Ironman England's shut down. Ironman Ireland is no more because of some things went on there. You've got Ironman Wales, which is amazing. But again, it's Ironman, it's a brand, they are expensive. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was trying to get into Norseman, which is one of the hardest ones in the world, and I didn't get a place for the fourth year running. So I was like, oh, bitter, angry, I'm going to do my own, on my own. And
why not?
I designed it. It's the lake where we're running the Dozen Dips. We're doing the swim there. And then I thought, where can we bike to, which is really nice. I love the mountains. Oh, let's bike to the Breckens. I was like, and BNX Forces, I know the Fan Dance, which is the Special Forces selection route. I'm like, well, that's a half marathon. So if I did that twice, that's the marathon. So, yeah, so we've come up with the Penny Man. And that's I think it's definitely going to be the hardest single stage Ironman in the UK, with the elevation gain on the bike and the run. I think it's actually possibly the hardest in Europe.
Wow. And
yeah, so the way I thought, how can I launch that? And my thing was that I'll do it this year on my own, video it all and everything like that. And then as I crawl my carcass over the finish line, I will launch the race. So, yeah, I'm trying to get myself fit for that because I am very unfit.
Well, it happens to us all. Okay, so if people want to keep an eye on that, on the developments there and on how Girtlush in general is developing, you're on Instagram?
Yeah, we're trying to grow in again. I do tell people I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. So we're on Instagram, girt.lush events. Girt is G-E-R-T. Everybody puts in G-U-R-T. So yeah, girt.lush events, or just Google or girtlush events. And our website, which is up, is, yeah, just Google girtlush events. and follow us through there. Keep it all, everything gets sort of updated. And yeah, we're trying to sort of grow everything, and we've got a few things in the mix to help us sort of grow and coming on amazing podcasts like this, which I listen to on my treadmill, and stuff like that. So yeah.
Very kind of you. I wouldn't go as far as amazing, but you are
oh,
a charmer.
It is. I like the informal nature of it. It's quite good.
Informal, definitely.
And Lou's introductions, hello, right, and things like
Star of the show. The star of the show, and she knows it. But listen, if people would absolutely encourage people to give it a follow. If you're looking for a new challenge, I know that we have people in our community that like to take on bigger and bolder challenges, and Girtlush is certainly a place where you can do that. Listen, Paul, thank you so much for your time, mate. Best of luck with growing everything, and hopefully our paths will cross at some point in the future.
Brilliant. Thank you. Cheers.
And once again, that was the absolutely awesome Paul Breen of Girtlush Events. Do keep your eyes open on the What The Fartlek socials over the coming weeks and months, because we've agreed to partner with Girtlush to bring you some competitions and some giveaways, and there's some great race entries that you can win. Very unique, very original, and definitely worth doing. I loved the fact that Paul talked about the events aren't just for elite runners or people who want to bag these mind-boggling distances and times and events and achievements. If you're going for your first marathon, this is a great place to do it without any pressure. You could walk it at one of these, just do one lap at the Barclay UK and get that marathon without worrying about a sweeper bus, I think, whilst being in wonderful scenery. So I think it's absolutely awesome, and very, very grateful for his time, and very, very impressed with what he is doing. So do check that out. Now, moving swiftly on, London is in the bag, Manchester's in the bag. So we are now looking forward to the summer and the plans that we have in place. Find out all about them on Thursday's community episode, just 3 days away, available to download wherever you get your podcasts. We're very much looking forward to facing into the future for 2024. We're very much looking forward to what is next for What The Fartlek. More incredible guests, more of you, our amazing Fartlek family, and just more good times and laughs. May your runs, as always, continue to be wonderful. Don't forget to be excellent to each other. Be kind, or get in the sea, and we will see you on Thursday. Same fart time, same fart channel. Peace.